So welcome to all who are joining the St. Paul community for a time of reflecting upon God's word and work in our world and lives today. As we gather into this space of prayer and reflection and scripture, I invite you now to take a few deep breaths, to get comfortable, and to enter into a moment of silence now. And as we all come together today, we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a small community of your church. We ask that you calm our worrying minds, that you open our hearts to hear and receive your word in our lives. We ask that for this time together today, you remove distractions so that we may move into worshiping your spirit and truth. May everything that we do let our lights shine to help guide others towards your love and grace and power. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. My reading for today comes from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments, and their teachers and others do the same, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches righteousness and exceeds in all will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So growing up, my family and I have always been very close. I have two older siblings with 5 years between each of us. So my sister is 5 years older than me, my brother 10. But despite these age gaps between us, we all grew up really close and remain closer than most siblings today. I lived with my sister for a year through the dark days of COVID, where we spent our time together making memories and growing even closer together. And because of this time living with one another, her and I continue to talk and joke about, to this day, the time that we will be neighbors living next to each other instead of hours away in different states. And when I graduated from undergrad, my brother and his family were traveling the country in a camper, and so I packed up, I traveled down, and I'd spent a month adventuring through Florida with them. As a whole family, sometimes even including those extended family members, we take yearly vacations together, making sure that we all come to be with one another for a week in the same way we did growing up. And we gather as often as possible for family birthdays and holidays, and sometimes just on random days to have a time to meet. And each time we come together, we pick up right where we left off, sharing new stories, telling inside jokes, making even more memories. And I remember during one of those random family meals a few years ago, we gathered at a small family-owned diner on a cold December night after we had been exploring a Christmas village, driving around looking at Christmas lights. And at the time, my nephew, Marshall, would have been 5 or 6. So he and I were coloring and playing games on his menu as we waited for our food to come. And then out of nowhere, don't remember anything about the context, I couldn't tell you anything that led up to it, but suddenly Marshall blurted out, "Don't be salty, Aunt Beth." And as soon as he said that, everybody immediately started laughing, knowing what he said more than he did at the time. But even if he didn't understand the full context of what he had said, calling me a salty and what that meant, he saw everybody reacting with their laughter and joy, and so the joke stuck. And every time that I saw Marshall for the next few years, he would call me Salty Aunt Beth. And to this day, that joke continues in our family. People buy me different things about what it means to be salty and how we live salty and to stay salty. And while I love that memory and that title that I have with Marshall, and as I thought about it reading our scripture for today, it led me into wondering what ways we let society's negative connotation of things influence how we hear them. Does the way that we view someone as being salty in our time and context today overpower the saltiness that Jesus is calling us into in our gospel lesson today? In our reading today, we have one quick, short verse where Jesus declares us being the salt of the earth. Then it quickly moves into us being the light of the world and on from there. And throughout our faith, we hear again and again this experience and this message and this declaration that we have a light, and we are a light, and we're called to share that light with others. And in recognizing how frequently we receive and hear that message of light, today I'm calling us to focus in on that small but mighty first verse. The verse where Jesus starts by telling us, "You are the salt of the earth." But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. And as we sit with that verse here for a moment, being pulled into this image of salt, in some ways, I think that is so common and familiar to us that it's easy to forget how essential salt truly is in the world. For us today, we can go to Walmart or the grocery store, go anywhere and buy any different type or size or brand of salt. But for the disciples and those who were listening to Jesus' message in this time, salt would have been something that was much more valuable than it is seen as being today. In many cases, the exchange of salt was something that was viewed as a form of currency in the ancient world. Because salt serves many more functions than we might think about today. Now, the first is the obvious answer, that the use of salt is used for seasoning and cooking and the consumption of flavoring. You sprinkle it on your French fries, sometimes even on the top of cookies or baked goods. And the salt works to chemically enhance the flavors already present in that dish. So while you're adding salt to it, you're not necessarily adding flavor, you're just bringing out what's already there. Then you can also use salt for preserving things. Salt is used to draw moisture out, resulting in a slowing of the growth of bacteria, and a slowing of the decay and rotting when it's used correctly. And we know that salt in our world today is used for the brining, fermentation, curing, and dehydrating process of various foods to extend their shelf life and make them last longer. You can also use salt as a purifying agent. It's used to help clean out water sources, working along with the sun and other resources around it to organically purify that water. But no matter the reason or the result of you using salt, it has a transforming effect. It's able to be used effectively in small amounts to have this big impact. And as we use salt for its many different purposes, it's never used to draw attention to itself, but rather to bring out the character, the purpose, or the function of the things that it interacts with. And as we see this action of salt used for flavoring and preserving and purifying in the world around us today, there's also many examples of how salt functions this way throughout scriptures. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, we're told that with all of your offerings, you shall offer salt. We read of times throughout scripture when salt seasoned offerings as a practice of worship and as a sign that they had a faith that was meant to last. Salt in this context served as a seasoning and as a preserving purpose amongst offerings. And then as you flip to Numbers 18, verse 19, we read of salt symbolizing the enduring covenant between God and the people, one that does not spoil. And this image calls us into recognizing that through the preserving function of salt, God's promise to be with us is not something that's temporary or that's easily broken, but rather throughout all of that covenant, God remains with us in the world today. And while God calls and leads us into this work amongst these purposes of salt throughout scripture and throughout our lives, there's also a time when it can be used as a warning. In Genesis 19, we read the story of Lot's wife becoming a pillar of salt because she did not listen and did not trust in God's word. And in our verse today, we hear Jesus warning us that salt can become useless. We go from this big proclamation that we are the salt of the earth to a threat that we too could become useless. So what does Jesus mean when he says this? Remembering the functions of salt that we have listed and talked about today, we again recognize that salt works to bring out the things that it interacts with. So when we hear these warnings of Jesus talking about salt being useless, we can rest easy in knowing that the only time that salt is useless is when it's kept off by itself. Salt doesn't exist for itself, but exists to interact with other elements around it. In the same way, Jesus is calling us not to separate ourselves out from our faith or to find ways to do God's work on our own, but instead, Jesus is calling us as the salt of the earth to work together to bring the goodness and the love and the forgiveness and the grace, the beauty and all the works of God that are already present in our world and the lives of those around us forward. And while this sounds like difficult work and it can feel too overwhelming at times, God leads us through it all. Jesus doesn't tell us to become the salt. There's nothing more we have to do or change about ourselves to be able to do this work. Jesus is telling us we are the salt, showing us that we already do what we're called to do. We already do that work of God in our lives through our love of all of our neighbors, through showing kindness and compassion, through practicing forgiveness towards others, through exclaiming and holding on to and trusting in our faith as we navigate the world around us. God creates salt, not for it to exist for itself, but to interact with the things around it. God creates us, not to exist for ourselves, but to be a disciple of our faith in our lives. So the question then becomes for us, what kind of salt are we being? What does it mean to be salty? How does it look to be salty as God calls us into preserving hope where things feel hopeless or things feel like they're decaying? What does it mean to be salty as God seasons us to bring flavor and life where the rest of the world feels bland? How do we become salty as God purifies us to speak truth and love? How are we salty as God sends us out to transform the world? How can we, you and I, move beyond society's insults of being called salty to become the community of disciples that Jesus is drawing us into in this one verse from our reading today? God has made us salty. And Jesus reminds us what this means for us, our purpose, salt's purpose. And so I invite us to go out from this place, to be the kind of salt in our world that helps everyone around us taste and experience the goodness of God. Amen. Join me again in a word of prayer. God, we pray for the church, all of creation, and for the whole people of God. Almighty God, we pray for your whole church as we become the hands and feet of work in this time. We ask for your help in taking the church beyond the walls of the sanctuary and out into the world. May you open our eyes to notice the ways you lead us into being the salt of the earth that you remind us we are. Creator God, we pray for the goodness of your whole creation. We ask that you guide us in ways that we can preserve your good creation, in ways that we can guide others into seeing the beauty around them, in ways that we can cleanse the damage that has been done to all. Use us in ways that restore the honor and wholeness of creation in all aspects of our lives. Protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask that you make your presence known to those who are sick, to those who feel alone, to those who feel unloved or unworthy, and to those who feel lost. Bring us to them so that we may be a presence of your love and work in their lives. We trust in your promise to us as we pray these prayers and the silent ones in our heart, in your holy name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go and be salty.